In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I've hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord forever, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I have said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plenteously rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Our text is the first part of verse 15. If you keep your Bibles open, we're going to refer to some of the other verses also. But verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. May he bless the reading and the preaching of it. The text that I chose for this morning is a text that my wife and I read a few weeks ago in our devotions. And then just yesterday, driving home, my wife saw a sign by one person's neighbor with this very text: "My times are in thy hand." This week, we mark time, don't we? As we pass from one year to the next. And it's good to mark time. God often, in the circumstances of our lives, will teach us great lessons. Sometimes He teaches them to us very loudly. For example, through an illness, through financial difficulty, or perhaps through the death of a loved one, or a grave sin that we might have fallen into. Think of David, a lesson that he was taught in his sins, and he was humbled. But God also, from His Word, interprets these circumstances in our life. Difficult things come to us. Our life is filled with trouble. Why? What do we do about it? How do we go about our lives? And so this week as a church, as we meet to mark the end of a year, we're going to contemplate God's faithfulness and mercy in the past year, and we'll also look at our sins and hopefully come with repentance and confession of our sins. And, well, as we look into the new year, we're going to also look with confidence, aren't we? In trust, in dependence, and hope. So we look at what the Lord has to say to us so that we may learn from the circumstances of our life. My sermon is entitled, A Confession of Our Life. A confession regarding our life. Notice, first of all, it is a confession regarding time. Second of all, it is a confession concerning God's hand. And then, and thirdly, application, our comfort and our hope. A confession regarding time, a confession regarding the Lord's hand, and our comfort and hope. These weeks mark a time of transition for my wife and for myself. For a little over 10 years, we've been members of this congregation. A little over 7 years as your pastor, and a little over 3 years now as your missionary. And how fitting, how wonderful that I can address you yet this one time before we head south. And what do we say about that time? It's gone so fast. And maybe we need to say about time that it is not under our own control, is it? We do not control the time of our lives. Psalm 90 puts it very beautifully, 70 years, or if by reason of strength, 80 years. Yet it is in the strength of labor and sorrow. For soon it is cut off and we fly away. And so Psalm 90 verse 12, so teach us to number our days. Why? So that we may get a heart of wisdom. Time marches on. And many times it seems like it is in control of our lives. The years flying by. And as those years fly, perhaps we'd like to take our finger and push the button on the reverse or back. I can remember my mother very often saying, "Oh, if only I could go back and do some of those things differently." Or as an older gentleman now, I might look back and say, "If only I had the strength and the vigor and the energy that I used to have." Or perhaps we like to pause, push the pause button. With our children growing up so quickly, oh, I can think of times when I'd like to push the pause button before they got into those teenager years and sometimes were rebellious as they tried to find their own independence. Or perhaps we'd like to push the forward button. When I was still in high school and I thought, oh, another 4 years of college and 4 years of seminary. Oh, I could push that forward button and be done with the schooling and get into the ministry. Or as I shiver in the cold and the snow outside, if I could push that button, say, summer or spring time. But we can't do that, can we? Time is not under our control. And this psalm teaches us what we know by experience. So time is not under our control, but time is also not in control of all things. It might seem that way when we sang in our first song that stanza, "Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day." Time is not in control. Time is not some kind of a vicious cycle just repeating itself so that there is birth and youth and middle age and then senior years and then death. History is not a cycle of just one nation rising and other nations falling. No. Time is not a matter of chance or fate, so we're here for a little while and then going away. So we're not Stoics saying, well, I'm just going to make the best of things, and I'm not an Epicurean that I say, let's eat and drink today, we live, and tomorrow we die. Time is a creature. There is a beginning and there will be an end. Time was created by God. It's the very first thing that He created on day one. For we go to our Bibles and we read there, don't we? In the beginning, God created. God created time. And as a creature, then, time is a servant of God, created by God to carry out God's eternal purpose and plan. As time began, so time will also end. Now each day begins with a sunrise and a sunset, but one day there will be no more night. Have you thought about time, your time, as God's creature? Perhaps one of God's greatest creatures. You can't stop it. You can't rewind it. You can't press fast forward. God's creature, given to us to give us opportunities. Opportunities to know and to serve and to love our God. God's servant, so that the wicked grow in their sin and rebellion, fitting themselves for hell. God's servant, so God's children are shaped, are guided, are directed, are prepared for the eternal mansions. Opportunities given to us day by day to serve our God and to grow closer to our Savior and to be made more and more like Him. God's creature. Many, many do not want to hear that. Many want to ignore the difficulties of the past. They stand in fear of the future, or they just want to live for the day. But there is coming an accounting. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. When we will give an accounting to God for what we have done, whether it is good or it is bad. So time is a creature of God, a servant of God. And now notice what the psalmist says about time. He uses the plural, doesn't he, in our text? My times are in thy hand. And when he uses the plural, he's recognizing that there are seasons of change. He's speaking of the variety of things that have taken place in his own life. David is able to look back, and he was a shepherd boy. He's able to look back when he was anointed to be king, but he first is a soldier in Saul's army. Then he has to flee for his life. Finally, he is made a king of Judah, and later on, king of all Israel. And he is able to see the good years of his life as king. He was a man after God's own heart, but he also knows those bad years when he sinned grievously and was very proud and had to be humbled. And so you and I, like David, are also able to speak about our time as in the plural. Think of the variety of things that have taken place in this past year. Never in my wildest dreams would I have thought of all those months under this COVID pandemic. The many experiences and moods and actions and upheavals in our lives. Think a moment when you say, my times. We're speaking there as citizens of a particular nation, aren't we? And if we look back in our life, our time as citizens of this nation, we've seen America very busy and many battles all over the world trying to bring about democracy and freedom or fighting for their own interests. The last 4 years, we've had a president that's been pulling back from looking everywhere else and says we have to think about ourselves. And now with a new president-elect, there's going to be a great reversal, isn't it? We're going to get back into this climate control. Again, there's going to be laws allowing more for abortion. Lifestyles set forward as governors live their alternate lifestyles. Involvement with other nations and what goes on in the world. Or think a moment of the COVID pandemic itself. These are my times. Things have changed, haven't they? But we can use that word plural, my times, also in reference to members of Christ's church. We can look at the history of the church of which we're a part, the Reformed Church, and we can think of the great growth, God adding to the church as many as should be saved. We can think of the controversies in the church. We can think of 1924 or 1953, and we can think of the present troubles that have been brought into our denomination. Yes, there are changes. The way we even have to worship right now because of COVID, with every other row between the families or wearing masks. The past year has not been easy at all for you as a congregation or for our elders and for our deacons. My times, plural. And so there are also seasons in every one of us individually in our lives. We were little children with really no cares. Dad, Mom took care of us. We become young people or young adults, and we have to think about, am I going to go on to school? What kind of a job am I going to try to have? Who will I find as a life mate? Our continuing lives and cares, whether we're single or whether we're married and families. Those middle years when we're rather comfortable, perhaps. And then those senior years when the eyes need eyeglasses on and perhaps a hearing aid and maybe some dentures in the mouth and the hands don't work as well as they used to. Individually changes. Perhaps business was running real well at the beginning of the year. And maybe now shut down, or maybe you were unemployed, or laid off, or under stay-at-home orders. Or think of some of our dear saints, what changes in their life, enjoying married life, and suddenly one is taken by death, or another one is in those homes where they cannot see their husband or their wife, where they cannot see their children, where they cannot see their friends. What heartaches. What a variety of circumstances. Others dealing with COVID or with cancer in their lives. That is the character of the earthly experience of God's saints. As we pass through this year, changes. As we interact with one another, as a congregation rejoicing with a birth to parents here, or like in the last week, crying with loved ones at the graveside, witnessing parents claiming the covenant promises of God when their children were baptized, seeing couples joined in marriage or agonized over rebellious sons and daughters. Oh, how well the preacher put it in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. We are finite. We are mutable. We are subject to these changes that time brings. There's nothing fixed. Everything changes. So time is not under our control. Time is a creation of God to give us opportunities to serve His purpose. And notice with me, thirdly, in our text that the psalmist is very personal, isn't he? He looks at his own life. His own personal experiences and changes, he couldn't escape them. And not all of them are pleasant, are they? What does he say in verse 9? Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. David here is fleeing for his life. And even his friends and associates have forsaken him. Verse 12, he says, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. No, David could not ignore those troubles in his life. Neither can you and I. And so when we say with David here in our text, my times, we are admitting to the variety in our life, different circumstances and changes. And so the question comes as we face our times, what can we do? There are going to be those changes, those trials, those difficulties because we are finite creatures, sinful creatures, weak creatures, troubled creatures. We can't stop it. My times, may you and I say, whether good or bad. My times, whether they're easy or very difficult for me. My times, whether they're happy times or very sad times. My times, whether it's a brief amount of time or a dragged out time. Whether healthy or sick, whether prosperous or financially hurting. Yes, our confession is there's a great variety. Psalm 90, verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And beloved, as much as we don't like that trouble or trials, it's good. It's good in our life. Because it teaches you and me that this world is not my home. I don't want to stay here forever. I'm looking to the end of time. I'm looking for that deliverance from this body of sin and trouble and sorrow and death. I'm looking forward to when Jesus comes again. I'm looking forward when God takes me home to glory. So we have a confession, and we have more. In my outline, I said a confession, but it's really we have a confidence in the Lord's hand. Or verse 16, the Lord's face. David writes, my times are in thy hand. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. So in the questions of the variety of circumstances in our life and trouble and trials, what shall I do? Where will I look? And my answer is my times are all in the hand of God. His name is Jehovah. In verse 1, the psalmist begins the psalm, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Boys and girls, that word Lord is in all capital letters. So there we have really the greatest name of our God, Jehovah. Jehovah who changes not. Jehovah, Psalm 90, who is everlasting, who has planned all things eternally, who is absolutely sovereign in everything that takes place in this world, but also in my life, and he directs it all to an end or a purpose, a goal. His glory and the salvation of His church. My times are in Thy hand. The psalmist uses here an anthropomorphism. Now, boys and girls, that word anthropomorphism simply means that God and His actions are described using human language, using human analogies, so that we can better visualize and understand our great God. It's figurative language, isn't it? God is a spirit. God doesn't have a face. God doesn't have hands. But when He uses the figure of a hand, it helps us understand how God is sovereign over all things in my life. So this is a powerful confession of our lips. God is in control. So boys and girls, look at your hand. Look at your hand. With that hand, you hold things. With that hand, you grip and you cling to something. With that hand, you can point to things, point out the direction that something should go. With that hand, you could stop things. Say, whoa, no more. So God gave us hands so we could do many things. But especially He gave us hands to understand Him, our God, and His hand in our lives. And boys and girls, God has given you parents so that you can look at their hands as they cuddle you, as they draw you close, as they lead you by the hand and guide you and care for you. God, who has designed our hands, the importance of those hands, the purpose of those hands, the power of those hands, we see something about our God. What do we see? We see God's strength. We see God's power. We see His control and His direction, and we see His love. God has the power to hold time, to move time, to control time, to direct time. We call that in Lord's Day 10, God's providence, don't we? And our hands are just a faint picture of the powerful, sovereign hand of our God. We don't control our times. God is able and does control and hold time in His hand. Boys and girls, remember Joshua's day when the sun stood still? Or do you remember with King Hezekiah when the shadow of the sun went backward on the sundial? So implied in our confession, then, my times are in Thy hand, is that God is the creator of time. Time is not eternal, but time is a servant of God. God does not measure time, but controls it. How beautifully the psalmist says, Psalm 90, verse 4, "For 1,000 years in Thy sight are as but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." God is sovereign. God rules over time. Time is His servant. And there's a purpose to time. God not only created it, but God directs it. In eternity, He planned all things. And now He directs all things to that purpose, to that goal. What a comfort in our lives. Things don't just happen to you or to me, but all of the things, good and bad, have a purpose. And therefore there is hope. There is that end in mind, what God has prepared for those who love Him. As Christians, then, we can look at the past, we can look at the very present, and we can look forward in the future. Remember these four words: God is in control. God is in control. God created time, our lives. God directs time in our lives. God has a purpose, a goal in our lives. That, beloved, is very comforting. As I live as a citizen in this nation and in this world, 6,000 years have taken place now already, nothing by chance. Nations rising, nations falling, but as Daniel sees in his vision, God is in control. Those nations rise and fall because there is a kingdom that comes down from heaven and fills the whole earth. The Supreme Court recently got one more judge, a conservative judge who values the life of the unborn. God is in control. We can sing with that old spiritual, can't we? Maybe we did when we were children. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole wide world. Everything is in God's control. The good, also the bad and the evil, He controls it. And what about the church? If we look at church history, what trials, what controversies, what persecution. But Christ is in control. Christ rules over the world in His power, but He rules over His church in His grace. So let's take that spiritual. We could say He's got His whole universal church in His hands. Yes, in His hands, He's got the whole church, His church. And so also in your and my personal lives. Think a moment of Job and all of his afflictions. Job was not in the devil's hands to do whatever he wanted, but God's hand. Satan could not do anything more against Satan than what God allowed him to do. You may go so far, but not any further. Or think a moment of David. Even his sin was in God's hand. Not only did Satan tempt him, but we read that God caused David to count the people. And that sin was good, for God used it to humble David and to humble the nation of Israel. So in our personal lives, yes, we can also sing, He's got you and me, brother. In His hands, He's got you and me, sister. God, in His grace, holds us, directs our lives, leads us, guides us, preserves us. Literally, in the Hebrew, it reads different than in our King James Bible. Verse 15 would read literally, in His hands are my times. In His hand is my time. What a wonderful truth. Think about it. The sovereign, exalted God in heaven with the whole church there, triumphant, and all of his angels serving him, condescends down to know each and every one of his saints and their needs and their difficulties and their lives. He knows each one of us by name. What a wonderful truth. He knows our characters. He knows our difficulties, what you're going through. Oh yes, David says that sometimes when I'm foolish, then I think the Lord's forgotten me. That's not the case, though. Not a moment. Do you have that confidence? How beautifully we're able to sing from Psalter number 383 pretty soon. Ere into being I was brought, thy eye did see, and in thy thought my life and all of its perfect plan was ordered ere my days began. Imagine that a moment. Before you were a thought in your parents' minds, before the foundation of the world, God knew each of his people and had a plan for them. How he would bring each of us to glory. All my past, with its failures, its sins, its troubles, the present and the future, in thy hand are my times. Life is filled with difficulties, isn't it? I'm thinking now of the isolation that some of our saints are feeling. Others, the sickness they're going through, the sorrow, the death of a loved one. As we go through those times, we feel so broken. Look carefully. David wrote in verse 14, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand." What a confession. Thou art my God that controls my times. My God who knows and loves me and has chosen me in eternity and given me to Jesus Christ. Thou art my God. That's a relationship, isn't it? A relationship of friendship. While his hand is heavy upon the wicked, bringing them to destruction in the way of their sins, his hand is upon us and draws us the way he wants in his grace to know and love and serve him and enjoy him. Yes, it is the loving hand of my Father in heaven. Thou art my God. Notice with me, we cannot end the sermon without noticing this is a messianic psalm, isn't it? Yes, David is writing about his life, but David is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. David went through many different struggles and trials to bring him closer to the Lord. And it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was determined by God to come down to this world to suffer and to die for our sins. And it is our Lord Jesus who is able to take verse 5 of the psalm, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit." But if you read in Luke's gospel, you'll notice that he added another word. On the cross, Jesus said, "My Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." That is not a term that the Old Testament saints would have used for God, Father. But it is through our Lord Jesus Christ suffering and dying for our sins that we are brought into God's family. We are His children. He did His Father's will. And therefore, the obedient one, our elder brother, by His grace makes us adopted sons and daughters. We are able to say with the psalmist now then, my God, Jehovah, by grace is my Father who loves me, who possesses me, who leads and guides me, who preserves me. He knows each of us by name. And that psalmist is confident that God will never leave or forsake us. He always holds us in His hand. He doesn't leave us in our own hands. Oh, that would be dangerous. He doesn't leave us in Satan's hands or our enemy's hands. No, we are by grace always in our Father's loving hands. What everlasting comfort as we go through this veil of tears. Safety. Safety so that finally we are delivered. The Lord Jesus takes us home. He says, "Welcome home, servant." And one day in heaven and the new earth, no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin or temptation, no more death. Jesus spoke of that safety that we have in John chapter 10. We read in verses 27 through 29, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And so we can take this text and we're able to say, in my Father's hand are all my times. What does this mean for you and me? There are changes in our lives. Our life is never static. Troubles, trials. Those changes are by God's appointment. He knows what we need. I've many times thought of a prayer that sometimes I would utter. It's a dangerous prayer. I would pray, "Lord, give me whatever I stand in need of." That's dangerous. Boys and girls, can you imagine saying to your parents, "Dad, give me whatever I stand in need of"? Oof. It could be a swift kick in the butt, couldn't it? We're saying to God, "Lord, take my life day by day. Mold me and shape me. Do whatever is necessary so that I, as a child of God, love Thee and live for Thee and serve Thee." Can we ask for it? Give me whatever I stand in need. Sure we can. Because Romans 8, verse 28 is, "God works all things for good to them that love Him, who are the called according to His purpose." Yes, at times we need to be humbled, don't we? There's a Dutch phrase. The Dutch like to say, "We're not stubborn, we're just right." No, we're not always right. And at times God has to stop us and to say, "You're wrong," and He needs to humble us. Strengthen our character. That's those changes are good. He's shaping us, preparing us for heaven. Second of all, admire your God. We change. Times change. But from Psalm 90, our God is an unchanging God, and therefore His Word is unchanging, and therefore His relationship with us is unchanging. Even though we are sinful and disobedient and headstrong and proud at times, He knows us as His children, and He'll do whatever is good for us as His children. Admire that unchanging God. Thirdly, may this be a solemn warning. In thy hand are my times. May we take God's word, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, so that when we grow older, we don't forsake Him or turn away from Him. Psalm 62, trust in Him at all times. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. Fourthly, may we have a strong comfort then for all seasons. I'm going to uproot my wife in a couple of weeks. She's not real happy about it, but she knows it's necessary. God's in control. God will stand by us as He's cared for us in the past. Some of you, perhaps, have stood recently at a graveside. It's difficult times, but God is there to uphold you. Others are sick and isolated right now from their loved ones. They're not alone. God is with them and will strengthen them. Psalmist says, I have put my trust in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. And now for the future. Boy, this year brought a lot of changes. What about the future? Oh, beloved, there's hope and there's trust. Notice how David ends this psalm. Verse 24. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. In thy hand are my times. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee, frail children of dust, sinful and weak. We would not rule our lives well. But thou art the sovereign God who in thy grace has chosen us, given us to Jesus Christ, redeemed us by His blood, dwells in us by His Holy Spirit, leading and guiding and holding and preserving us each day. O Lord, shape us. Shape us so that we're fit for service in heaven. O Lord, control all of our circumstances and give us then peace, confidence. If God is for me, who can be against me? We thank thee for that confidence. We're thankful for that confession of David and now of ourselves. Amen. Let's turn to number 383 in our Psalters, the Lord our Maker. My thoughts, O God, how manifold, more precious unto me than gold. I muse on their infinity. Awaking, I am still with thee. We'll sing the first three stanzas of 383.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.